This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Race and diversity. It's an issue on college campuses across the country, and certainly Eastern Michigan University is no exception. It's been an ongoing issue, but there has been heightened awareness and concern this fall after racially offensive graffiti was discovered on or in three separate campus buildings. That led to a series of protests, rallies, and marches, and a demand for more protective and responsive university administration. One of the protests was a sit-in in the early morning hours of November 2nd at the EMU Student Center. As the building closed, dozens of students refused to leave. They stayed until about 5 a.m. when the building reopened. Since that time, four students have been disciplined for violations of the student code of conduct, and between 8 and 11 others have been contacted, receiving letters informing them they, too, are up for review for code of conduct violations. With all of this going on, we want to get an assessment of the climate on campus. Yesterday afternoon, WEMU's Lisa Berry spoke with Black Student Union Acting President Michael Wood, and I encourage you to listen to that interview on our website at WEMU.org. In that interview, Mr. Wood asked to hear directly from EMU President James Smith. With that said, good morning, Mr.
Good morning,
Smith.
David. Thank you.
I know that you can't directly address disciplinary actions when it comes to individual students, not appropriate and against the law, as a matter of fact. In the broader scope, though, let's talk there. Is taking action against students who peaceably assembled on campus the right thing to do when trying to improve the racial climate on campus?
Well, first, let's say protesting has never been something we've tried to halt or we've ever had a student code of conduct issue around. It's when we occupy buildings that are closed and students are asked to leave and they refuse to leave, then we have a code of conduct issue. And our code of conduct officers were pretty clear from the very beginning that they didn't think that they could overlook or ignore a building that was taken. We offered, I believe, at 1:15 or 1:30 in the morning to let students all leave, continue to protest all night long outside of the student center, but we were going to lock the student center. And that's where the issue comes in. Who stayed, who left, and then what would the code issues be around those who did stay?
To the best of my knowledge, the administration does have the right to determine when and how to apply the measures laid out in the student code of conduct. So what went into the decision to apply those measures in this case?
Well, from my perspective, it's never the president's prerogative to go in and say, this case should be adjudicated, this case should not be adjudicated. We have a process. The university works around processes, and the student code of conduct professionals are the best, the most most knowledgeable, and the most trained. And so we have said to them, give us what you think is the proper code of action or proper course of action, and they have done just that.
Is there a fear among administrators that by not taking disciplinary action in this instance that there might, in fact, it might encourage more building protests?
Actually, that's not been a discussion point. It's been more of the university is organized in a certain way, and we have professionals that do certain things in certain areas. I don't think there's ever been a discussion that I've been a part of that said we need to manage this situation. We need to crop this situation. It's been what are our rules? What are our regulations? How do we do proper student code of conduct discipline? I think it is important, and I've certainly not correcting you, but I've heard it in other media outlets that all the students that are going to meet with code of conduct will be expelled. That's absolutely not true. I can't talk about individual situations, but I can tell you that of the situations at hand, no student has been truncated in their path towards their graduation. So the notion that they'll all be expelled, that there is no gradation to this, that everyone's treated in the same way, and that's not true. The code of conduct is very, very clear that it is built upon itself. So a student that has a first violation would be treated differently than someone who had a fourth violation. And again, we use the professionals in student affairs to make those good judgments.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and we continue our conversation with Eastern Michigan University President Dr. James Smith. Dr. Smith, what is your assessment of the administration's response to student concerns over these disciplinary issues?
Well, we're working hard, and that's a point that I really am pleased to be able to share today, David. We've walked with student government. You've heard from the students. They want more cameras, which sometimes is antithetical to what you and I might think, because students in general don't like to be surveilled. They want more cameras, so we've asked student government to walk with us, walk with our police officers. Where could we put up some temporary cameras that you think would be helpful? We've put up some temporary lighting. We've built a crosswalk that goes behind King Hall, where we are right now. The very first vandalism situation came about in this building where we are, and it was basically because no one ever used the back portion of that courtyard. We're making that usable space now so that those people who do hateful things don't have these dark corners to hide in. We have worked very hard, and just as of 2 days ago, Dr. Calvin Phillips, our Vice President for Student Affairs, and Lee Graydon, Chief Advisor to the President, spent time with the Black Student Union going over the 10-point plan, and you're aware of some of the requests within that 10-point plan. We're making good progress. We know that we haven't met all the elements. Some of them we may not be able to meet, but we're working hard to share that story and share it broadly.
I do want to come back to that 10-point plan. Sure. And what's being done in a few moments, but I want to stay focused on response at this point. You've Sure. pointed out many of the campus measures that are taking place and will continue to take place. Extra security was Right. put on campus for a period of time after the incidents to ensure that perhaps it would be a deterrent to more incidents occurring. But I want to go back to November 18th, after the first round of disciplinary actions was announced. There were some students who disagreed with the decision to discipline any students. They arrived at the office door of EMU Vice President of Student Affairs Calvin Phillips, and WEMU was there.
If that's what I pay my money for you to be locked in the office and not come out until we call you out, what is that? No justice, no peace, period.
And when he did come out, Calvin Phillips...
Do you have anything to say, Calvin?
No, I don't.
He did not have anything to say. Move on down the hall to the office of the Associate Director for the Office of Student Conduct, Mike Smith.
I'm not going to have this conversation
right
now.
Why not? Because you're in the wrong.
I'm going to continue to do my job.
On that day, the decision was made to avoid interaction and engagement. So we've talked about some of the things that are happening policy-wise in improving the campus security and providing a more safe atmosphere. But when it comes to more direct engagement, do you think the administration is responding to students?
Well, I certainly would always want people to do what I'm doing with you, is to sit down to answer to the very best of our ability. I wasn't there on the day where we played the radio clip, so I certainly don't want to cast aspersions on those who were there. But I think the more we dialogue, the more we interact. I've done lunch meetings with the Black Student Union. I've done Black Student Leadership Luncheons. We did a great evening event with about 16 or 18 of our most famous Black alums that could join us. And those go all the way back from 72 to 2014 to have these dialogue sessions, to listen and to answer those questions. And we'll work harder at it. We'll work harder at answering questions and being as responsive as we can. I know that our communications officers have tried to respond almost to every request, if not every request, as quickly as they possibly can.
One of the concerns along these lines that has been expressed to me personally from members of the community, from campus faculty and staff, and from students alike has been, where are you? You've just talked about some of the measures of engagement that you've taken, but they've also watched Dr. James Slishall at the University of Michigan not only join in protest, lead protest, be a part of the demonstration, and be very public in actively decrying the racism, and they want to know, where are you? Why aren't you doing that?
Well, I certainly have been at several of the events when we had the first rally by the King statue. I was there for the entire time. I spoke to students, spoke to faculty. I was not here for the teach-in. I was out of state, and that wasn't purposeful. That was an event that had been planned months and months ahead of time. I've been on a couple of the marches with students, so I don't know I guess I don't know how to be more ever-present than I've been, but I'm certainly cognizant of that as I hear it from you, and we'll work harder at making a presence out there. No one, and I think this is a really important point, David, no one on our executive cabinet is comfortable with people who do hate speech on an open dialogue campus, a campus that embraces diversity. All of us have a horrible feeling in our stomach about people that do this. We work every day with our police officers to, how's the investigation going? Are we getting more leads? And as you would obviously know from your years of reporting, the leads get more and more sparse as time goes on. But we still have some good leads, and they're still working on it every day.
And there is still a $10,000 reward
Absolutely.
In play for anyone who provides information leading to an arrest and conviction
Absolutely.
In the case. So the investigation will continue. You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and we're talking with Eastern Michigan University President Dr. James Smith. A little bit earlier, you mentioned a 10-point plan that had been presented to EMU administration before you ever came to town. But let me go over just a couple of those. The amount of black faculty should match the amount of black students, excluding all faculty in the Africology department. They demand all students should have to take a general education race, ethnicity, and racism course. They demand that black studies be built into the curriculum of every major. And they demand annual cultural competency for all faculty and staff, including DPS. Now, those are just some of the 10, but you get an idea of where this is going in creating a more inclusive environment on campus. So where are we with that list, and where will we be moving forward?
Well, let me just give you a few. I was very, very pleased to see our incoming faculty, which, as you mentioned, I really had no bearing on. This happened long before I came. The queue of interviewing faculty start about now for next year. 13% of our incoming faculty for this year, new faculty, self-identify as black. That is far beyond the national average. Now, it's not 20, as our students would indicate, but I use an old line from my grandmother with students sometimes, and I'm sure they don't particularly love it, but, you know, you have to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. We're making progress there. We have extensive diversity training for anyone who is on a search committee for new faculty hires, new senior administration hires. We're doing a training program that will impact all of our senior executive cabinet folks. That'll start in January. Our human resources group has worked very hard on that front. So we continue to push these forward. They are things that literally we talk about daily and, of course, weekly.
In the next week or so, you are expected to announce the completed formation of the EMU Diversity Inclusion Commission. What voices are going to be represented on that commission?
Well, we have some yeses, so I'd love to do it tomorrow. I've asked the folks that are helping me. I said, you know, why are we so slow? Because I'd really like to get that out. We have some yeses. We have some people. This is getting near finals time. It's hard to catch all the faculty we want, but we will have faculty. We'll have students, and we'll have community members. We'll have staff members. We will have people that have been here a long time. People have been here a relatively short time. We want to have that group really represent the change we want moving forward in diversity and inclusion. They will manage the 10-point plan, and that's something we've shared with the black student union leaders and the student government leaders, is that they will manage that plan. They will tell me how we are doing. They will tell me where we are failing, where we are not responding as quickly as we should. So we look forward to that. I believe the chair will be announced. There could be announced as early as tomorrow. The person I think all of us have great respect for, and I think the students will be impressed with the person who will accept the chair.
Those efforts are going to tie into EMU's larger overall strategic plan. And you're about to hold a second listening session to gather input on how best to refine and implement the plan on campus. That session is going to take place at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon in room 108 of the Marshall Building. These listening sessions, of which there will be 6, are specifically designed to garner input from faculty and staff. Will there also be opportunity for student voices in these sessions?
Absolutely, but not in these sessions. We're trying to do faculty and staff first to get their baseline, and then we want to do a student listening group. It's hard to do an open session with students. It's not hard to do sessions with elected leaders. So we'll take elected group leaders, and we will take the information we've gotten from faculty and staff and say, here's what we're hearing about our next steps in the strategic plan. Jorge was with us last week when we did it, and I think he was even surprised that the depth of discussion on internationalism and how we could internationalize campus and really diversify at a greater rate was one of the top discussion points. We want to see if students agree with that as we go forward.
As we begin to end our time together this morning, I'd like you to just provide us your assessment of where the racial climate is on campus now, by your perspective, and where you see it moving forward as this strategic plan gets implemented.
Well, we're going to work hard to make it better. I don't know that I'm the best judge of where we are. I would certainly say we have hills to climb, if not mountains to climb. I liked what you said at the intro, is that EMU is not standing alone on an island here. This is a national issue. We are benchmarking against national peers. What can we do to really have students know and understand they are going to work in a diverse global society? You are going to work with people that are very different than you, that think differently than you do, that vote differently than you do. How do we bring that into the classroom? How do we bring that into the common discussions? And that's where our challenge is with strategic plan. Let's move that forward.
I'd like to thank you for your time today. I truly appreciate it.
My pleasure, David. Always happy to be here.
That is Eastern Michigan University President Dr. James Smith. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.